Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Roddy, your host for Heroes, and we are back to hear more about Heroes. Joining us is Eric Zarin. He is the chairman of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. Eric, thanks for being with us again today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jim.
Tell us about some heroes that you've awarded.
Let's start with the case of John F. Denny from file number 33688. John F. Denny attempted to save J. Godfrey Schwab from drowning in Erie, PA on January 2nd, 1934. So before I go any further, Erie, PA, January 2nd. This is a water rescue, so you know what, that's not going to be easy. Schwab, 69, who was a street cleaner, broke through thin ice on Presque Isle Bay of Lake Erie at a point 700 feet from the shore. In water 35 feet deep, he clung to the handle of an axe, which he had embedded in the ice. John Denny, 17, a schoolboy who was on the ice 300 feet from shore, ran 200 feet toward Schwab and then cautiously walked to within 2 feet of the hole. He broke through and was briefly submerged in the hole with Schwab. John repeatedly tried to climb up on the ice, but the edge broke. He then trod water and held to the ice until a man arrived and pushed a scantling to him. John grasped the scantling and crawled out and away from the hole. He then crawled on the scantling toward Schwab and made an effort to pull him upon the ice. Failing, he ran 400 feet to a dock and returned to the hole with a rope. The man cast a loop in the rope over Schwab, and he and John then pulled Schwab onto the ice. Terribly dangerous situation in that frigid water.
I'm amazed that the victim managed to stay alive at being in water that long.
Yeah, so often in water that cold, the body just, it stops responding.
Yeah, it just shuts down.
It just shuts down. It's just the human body's reaction to that type of cold water for any period of time. And so you're really working with seconds, and you don't know when exactly that victim will submerge and make it impossible for a rescue. So these are very dangerous, and we see so many in northern part of the United States, certainly in Canada, there are a good number, because in Canada especially, and in certain parts of the United States too, you know, there is the waterways are as busy and maybe busier when they're covered with ice than when they're thawed. Recreationally, for transit, many expansive waterways in Canada and the U.S., when they freeze, you know, vehicles, heavy equipment may traverse that on the ice, and it's something that you can never be 100% sure about, even with some expertise in gauging the thickness of the ice. So a lot of very perilous situations. Many do not end well, but in this case, there was a rescue.
Well, Lake Erie is one of the more dangerous lakes because it's relatively shallow. And because of that, as soon as the wind comes up, it can become very rough.
Right.
And I've done some sailing, and I've sailed on Lake Erie and some races, sailboat races. And 1 minute you're sailing along with a nice breeze, and the next minute you're terrified by what you see, and it can be very frightening. And I've been on the ice, sailing on ice in an ice boat up in upstate New York. And that was exhilarating, but I can't imagine what I would have done if we'd turned over and I'd gone down into the water.
That's right. Yeah, water is inherently dangerous, obviously, but cold water, frigid water, that much more so.
Well, last week we heard about a man in hot water, and this week we're talking about a man in cold water.
Right. I hesitate to say we've seen it all, Jim, because as soon as I make that statement, we'll see something new. But certainly, the benefit of having been at this for almost 119 years is we've seen a lot of different perils, a lot of different rescues, and heroism of every flavor.
Well, you want to give us another hero?
Sure, yeah. Let's talk about Raymond F. Christner, file number 50401. He rescued Matthew Burke from a perilous fall in Brownsville, PA on July 9th, 1968. Now, but while working atop a building 60 feet high, Burke, who was 18 and a schoolboy, leaned on an unsecured hoist assembly at the edge of the roof. His weight tipped the hoist, and as it toppled over the side of the building, a part of it struck Burke, knocking him off the roof. Christner was 38, plumbing and heating contractor. He was on the ground in a passageway alongside the building and saw the hoist falling toward him. He started to run from its path, and then he saw Burke, who had been thrown out farther from the building than the hoist, falling toward the concrete pavement of the passageway. So Christner stopped, assumed a catcher stance, and held out his arms. And Burke was in a horizontal position when his falling body contacted Christner's outstretched arms about 4 feet above the ground, and the force pulled Christner down, pinning his arms to the pavement. The heel of Burke's shoe struck Christner's foot and broke it. The hoist landed 3 feet from them. Burke was treated for abrasions, and Christner's broken foot was mended. So they both survived, but that's, you know, kind of a case where, you know, we can all imagine ourselves, you know, certainly Mr. Christner could have moved a few feet in either direction and been perfectly safe, but he effected what was a very tricky, tricky maneuver. You saw that, you know, the victim, Burke, was falling with such force that it broke bones. And certainly had Christner not extended his arms and assumed a very risky position to save Burke, it would not have ended well, I'm sure, from 60 feet high.
And you said he was 16 years old?
Our rescuer was 38.
38.
Yeah, our rescuer was 38, but the victim was 18 years old.
18 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, that's an interesting story.
It sure is. And, you know, sometimes we have victims that could even be falling from the sky. And who you know, that's the thing. In all of these cases, Jim, these are just something that happens in a moment's time. And it's not, nothing you could ever envision happening or prepare for to happen at exactly that moment. So that's what makes it, you know, such a weighty thing, that decision, that moral choice that has to be made in that moment. There's no other alternative. Either the choice is made to act or not to act in a situation you could not have been prepared for and in which you have no obligation to certainly risk yourself to try to effect the rescue of a stranger.
Well, of course, that background is pretty common in all of these stories that you tell us about the Carnegie heroes. Well, tell us one more.
Yeah, David A. Cushy and Troy Gower were involved in a rescue in 2004. They helped to rescue a John D. Semple from burning in Cannonsburg. It was on January 6th of that year. So Semple, the victim, who was 49, was trapped in the debris of his house after an explosion of natural gas that had leaked into the structure. Much of the story-and-a-half house, including the roof, collapsed into the basement, where Semple lay badly injured and burned, and fire broke out in that debris and spread. Driving nearby, a neighbor, Cushy, who was 31 and a federal air marshal, heard the explosion and responded to the scene. He entered an outside door to the basement, climbed through debris to reach Semple, as had another neighbor who responded, that being Gower. Cushy and Gower lifted furniture off of Semple, freeing him, and carried him through the debris to the door. Able to walk, Semple exited the basement and fled with Cushy and the other man. By then, flames had spread to at least the far half of the pile of debris. Semple was hospitalized for treatment of multiple bone fractures and burns to his head and hands. And Cushy also sustained minor smoke inhalation, but he recovered.
Wow. But so, here we had someone who was a trained agent that got involved.
Right. A good example of that. And, you know, but again, in those cases, was it beyond the call of Cushy's duty to act in this case? Certainly it was. You know, Cushy could not have been, was not equipped to deal with fire or gas, and,
right,
and likely had not trained as an air marshal to exact a rescue from a burning building where gas was present.
Wow.
So next, let's go right to Paul Patterick, if we may. Paul Patterick Jr. Rescued Tammy L. Rose from assault in Denora, PA, March 2nd, 1994. Now, Ms. Rose was 22 at the time and was at work as a convenience store clerk when a masked man entered the store, pointed a loaded gun at her, and made verbal threats demanding money. She went to the cash register and opened it to comply. Now, a regular customer was Pasterick, age 64, a retired steelworker. He was standing along the front wall of the store. When his attention was directed to the situation, he immediately rushed the assailant, grabbed his gun hand, and deflected it from Ms. Rose. She was able to flee. A brief struggle between Pasterick and the assailant ensued, during which Pasterick obtained possession of the gun. The assailant fled but was shortly apprehended by police. Pastorek recovered from abrasions about his left eye sustained during the scuffle.
Wow, those steel workers are tough.
That's right. In and out of the mill.
Yeah.
I think you can count on that type of individual. But again, we talked before about the book's cover. And in this case, I think what the book looked like was exactly what you read inside.
Yeah, well, to rush a person with a loaded gun takes a either you have to be temporary insanity or very brave.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Very, very dangerous situation. The commission has also heard from experts beyond the investigation of these cases and consideration of the cases for the Carnegie Medal. We also strive, and we have throughout our history, to try to better understand, the human ideal of heroism and the capacity for heroic action. We try to understand, natural human reactions to various perils. And one thing we know is that, all of these perils that we deal with and that you and I have talked about, they're all life-threatening situations. But human assaults and animal assaults affect a human being in terms of their reaction very differently. It's at a different level and in a different way. The other perils are mindless. Fire will burn and water will drown. But, when someone or something is bent on your destruction, it can affect the human psyche in a different way.
Well, you've talked about studying this. You probably have more research than anybody in the country on saving lives. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Eric Zarin. He is the chairman of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. And he'll be with us again next week to tell more stories about heroes. This is your host, Jim Roddy, and we hope you will tune in next week to hear extraordinary stories about ordinary people.